What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 379, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
How much? We're on what, 379?
You're getting up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
We are getting up.
We'll be at 400 before we know it.
We say that. It just happens, you know, A lot of episodes. But lots of cool stuff to talk about this week. Lots of cool products. One that I'm wearing and technically two that are sitting here, which we'll definitely get into talking about, which I'm pretty excited for. And some pretty interesting news this week as well. Lots going on. Hockey season's about to start, so I'm pretty pumped for that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you still a Pens fan, or are you?
Yeah, of course I'm a Penguins fan. Of course, you know. So I don't think I'm ever not going to be a Penguins fan. Right. It'd be weird, especially considering like there's no team in San Diego. So,
right. What's the closest? Like the Kings?
I guess the Kings. Yeah, the Kings.
And then like the Sharks.
The Kings and the Sharks. Yeah,
San Jose Sharks. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people here are Vegas Golden Knights fans too.
Yeah, I can see that. It's so close.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like five and a half hours away. So we have old man in the chat. Good to see you here. I heard you got some new computer gear. So I'm pretty excited to hear about that. Now, for everybody in the live chat or if you're listening later, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So you can go through and click through and get even more information as you're listening, or just later you're like, oh, what were they talking about? It's all right here. It's all clickable, so you can go into the articles and reviews and see everything. But we're going to start with reviews this week, and I took a look at some pretty cool products. We're first going to start out with two really cool products, and I actually have them sitting in front of me here. We'll start with the first one, which is pretty simple, and it sort of just like makes sense. It is Mountain's macro pad, and basically, I mean, it is what you would think it is. It is a little pad that has 12 macro keys on it, and I think these are incredibly useful just because I like using smaller keyboards. I know a lot of other people do, and having just some extra keys that you can fully program to do whatever you want, you can set it off to the side. A lot of people set it right in front of their keyboard so they can control whatever they want to control, or use it even just as like a shortcut, right? Open applications, yep. Things like that, much like a Stream Deck, right? Mm-hmm. It does very much the same thing. The cool thing about these is that this will actually attach to Mountain's Everest Max keyboard. That keyboard came out like 2 years ago, but these will actually attach to the top of it as well. But they do come with like these really heavy duty stands, like crazy big rubber on the bottom. So it's not going to go anywhere. And it's actually pretty well made too, the macro pad. So like I said, 12 keys here, mechanical key switches, and they are hot swappable as well. So they come with their tactile Mountain Zone tactile switch, but you can pop them out. You can do whatever. I can see a lot of people maybe putting some like really crazy custom keycaps on here as well. To really customize it, which is really cool. So that is the macro pad. It's extremely simple. You just plug it in and it works. Mountain has their own software, which I will get into. But then if you're not into just the macro pad, you want something a little cooler, they have the display pad, which I put it up here so you guys can see. This has little screens in it. So very much like a Stream Deck, basically a complete competitor to the Stream Deck. And same thing, you can make these do whatever you want. As you can see, I have them like for shortcuts. So I have all my Adobe programs there. I have Chrome, I have Firefox, I have Spotify, I have Steam on there, which is really, really cool. So you can do a lot, and these look really, really great. Like, I mean, I don't know if this video is going to really do it justice, me showing you, but it looks awesome. And what's really cool about this is that you can have like little folders. I don't know if you can see on the end, but see how it says
editing. So utilities maybe, or games
in games. Yeah. So if I click on editing, I can actually go into those are like all editing things for Adobe Premiere, which is really cool. And then you can obviously back out and go back to the main screen. So you can have like layers upon layers of different things with this, and you can do sort of the same thing with the macro pad, but you don't get that visual of what you're actually doing. With a display pad, obviously there's an image there, and this can support GIFs, it can support regular images, like you can put kind of whatever you want on there, which is really cool. Now going into the software, I would say the software is decent, and I've actually been a fan of Mountain's. Their software is called Basecamp, and we've used it on previous Mountain products, and I've actually been a huge fan of it. And it works really well. Like, you just go in, and for the display pad, you go ahead and, you know, you can change the colors, and then you can set each button to kind of whatever you would like it to do. Run a program, run a macro. There's a bunch of different things. And same thing with the display pad, except for the display pad, you can see it. Like, you can see what you're putting up there. You can also change the image down here. And one thing that is nice about this is if you go into the software, they do have controls set for like all of the big editing programs like Adobe Premiere. There's Twitch built in. There's YouTube built in. So you can do certain things as you're streaming, right? Like say something to the chat or whatever, you know. That's all kind of built in here, which I really like. I think for it to compete with something like a Stream Deck, it kind of needs those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a little bit bummed out is that this does support like showing like real-time CPU temperature and GPU temperature and CPU usage and other things. Anytime I enabled those, they didn't work. I'm running a very new system, Windows 11 as well. Like I don't know what the issue was, but it just did anything. And even showing like you can show the time, like, you know, what time it is. And that data obviously is coming from your PC. That didn't work either. So I was a little bit bummed out with that. And then there's also no like game like functionality. I mean, of course you can create a macro, right? But like, it would be nice to have specific functions for specific games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do believe there's a ton of plugins for the Stream Deck where this isn't as in depth. I think for the Stream Deck, I mean, there's tons of plugins for a ton of apps, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Sorry, I was reading a comment that old man just put.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There's like a kind of like a store. You know, you go to their store and there's all sorts of applications and options for add-ins.
Yeah. This is just like you're totally dependent on what Mountain puts in there. There's no like third-party applications or anything like that, which is a bit of a bummer because I think that's where this it just falls behind. You can't do as much with this as you can with the Stream Deck. Now, if you're somebody who's just, again, like just loading up applications again, like I have on here, it's great. It works fine. You know, you hit a button, it launches the application. I can go into the editing thing and I can do like, because Adobe Premiere always crashes because it just does. So I have like, you know, in my editing folder, I have like quick save so I can just hit it really quickly. It does work really well. And I would imagine during a streaming scenario, much like this, I could program, you know, certain things for the stream and all of that. There is like an OBS plug or OBS section in here where you can do all that kind of stuff. It does work really well. I just feel it is, again, the ecosystem per se is not what it would be for the Stream Deck, I guess.
Sure.
How many, the default Stream Deck, how many keys are on that?
15. Yeah.
15. Okay. So you're getting 12 here. So not as much. Yep.
Get a little more. But you can connect it to the keyboard, which is cool, right? I like that feature. So you can
only the Mountain keyboard, yes.
Yes.
And this is a much like so the Stream Deck is what? How three rows of five?
Yes.
And this is just two rows of six, as you can see. So it's just two rows of six here. So it's a little bit different layouts. I do believe that the Stream Deck is at more of an angle. Can you set the angle on the Stream Deck?
Yep. It has an adjustable stand. Mm-hmm.
So the stand is not adjustable. It is, but I feel it's at the perfect angle. Like I haven't like tried to press something and, you know, and I can see everything as well. So I think the software just needs to have more, I think, to really compete. Now where it does compete is price. For you guys that didn't see, I mean, here's what it looks like again. Now, one issue I did see, and you can see it in the image, it's gonna be kind of hard to see. See this? There's like a line that goes down. It seemed like these were dead pixels. Now, I haven't found another review, or I looked on Reddit, I looked everywhere, where this was an issue with anybody else. I reset it. I reset the firmware. I assume they're just dead pixels. Any picture, anything I put here,
there would be a line.
Yeah.
Is that also brushed aluminum body?
It is brushed aluminum. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So it is quite nice. It looks really good. You know, and then that's obviously what the display pad looks like. But price is a big thing. So the display pad, the one with the screens, is only $79.99. And isn't the Stream Deck the MK2 150, I believe? In their macro pad,
well, their mini, which has six buttons, is $80. And that's a newly reduced price.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So you are going to save, you know, on cost. Definitely. With this. I think the biggest thing is, again, coming down to functionality. Like, if you need deep, something that's, you know, not a major application that you may need, you know, functionality for, you, I would check to see if Mountain supports it. Like I said, you have functionality for Twitch, you have functionality for YouTube, you have functionality for OBS. There's Adobe, there's like all the Adobe programs, as well as DaVinci Resolve in there too. So those are like your major editing programs. But I would just, again, see what the functionality is. Now, I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but on the Stream Deck store, can you download like icon packs and stuff?
They do have icon packs, yep.
Yeah, so like there's none of that. There's no like really store or anything. Like it's up to you to really... now, when you like select a program, it will automatically put the icon for that program in. So you don't have to like look up the icon or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if you wanted like custom, say like Ryan's into comics, like say you wanted like a Marvel theme throughout, like you could get that with Stream Deck, whereas sure. like you'd have to kind of make your own and set the icons yourself. So those are some of like the differences. But I think for price, especially on the display pad, it is a good deal. And I think it's real, like, it does look so cool. Said it, like, I have never had a Stream Deck. I always thought they were cool, but I just never got one. I never necessarily had the use for one, but now having this, it looks so cool sitting on the desk. I have it like right under my monitor, and the functionality that it does give with just quick launching programs, as well as when I am editing, I can do some quick things with it. And I may even expand on it more as I use it more. I think for $80, it is a good deal. And like I said, for the macro pad, I think that one is really well made. That aluminum top plate, it's made just like a mechanical keyboard, mechanical key switches. They are hot swappable. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, but Ryan has some really cool custom keycaps. Like I could see somebody loading this up with like really cool custom keycaps. And then that becomes like the centerpiece of their desk or their desk setup too. So I think that's pretty cool. So if you're into any of those, check out the review. Like I said, it was pretty cool checking these out. And again, nice to get some more added functionality to my setup, which I definitely like there. So coming up next, we have Ryan's review. Ryan, if you want to share your screen and tell us a little bit about the new Cooler Master AIO.
Yeah.
Which actually did look quite good. I was actually surprised at how well it actually looks. Now we'll talk about performance and stuff as well.
Sure. Yeah, so I took a look at another 360mm AIO from Cooler Master, the Master Liquid 360 Atmos. Now, this is not equipped with any surround sound speakers or anything like that. Don't get it confused with Dolby, but that's just the name they chose to go with. Pretty standard, though, for the most part, setup from Cooler Master. They've made some tweaks here and there to their pump housing, most of them being visual, but they're always tweaking their what they tout as their dual chamber design on that pump and reservoir section. So just a really cool.
For those, and I'm pretty, again, I don't even know if you know, but they don't, this is their own tech. This is not an Ace their own tech.
Design. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. So this is their own pump tech and all of that, which is pretty cool to see, because a lot of people just use like an Ace Tech or whatever it may be.
Right. And they'll get the patent from them and
yeah,
customize. But it had kind of a cool like unboxing experience, right? We've all gotten used to those fancy phone unboxings, but this was kind of a really cool unboxing from, at least from Cooler Master, that I had seen, where, you know, the mounting hardware wasn't just in a plastic bag, in just a plastic bag. There's bags inside of each of these like AMD and Intel boxes, but just these little compartmentalized pieces was kind of a cool feature. But I didn't like that the block and pump housing was just kind of in this big section by itself and could move around kind of easily in there. Obviously it's attached by your hoses that connect to the radiator, but it just didn't seem protected, right? I don't know. You spend all this money and on designing this. I guess
they could have made like a little thing that held it into place a little bit better.
Something a little better. And there's a cutout underneath there that you can't see, so it kind of holds it in place because you've got your cooling lines that go
to it. Yeah, but like the UPS guy just like
throws it,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it does come with mounting hardware for, you know, current AMD and Intel systems. Here's just a quick look at that cooler there. We've obviously got some braided lines, pre-attached fans, which is nice. However, ooh, I have a gripe about the fans and how they attached them that I'll get into in a minute. Pretty standard radiator, all black design with this for the most part. So everything's nice. It's an aluminum radiator, no copper here or anything, but that's pretty typical of most all-in-one liquid coolers. I think Alpha Cool makes theirs with copper radiators, but most of the time on these, you're getting an aluminum radiator, which is fine, especially when you
you don't typically see a copper radiator in these days.
Correct. We've got our fittings, you know, just pretty standard setup on the end of this. It looks, has very similar design language as far as the radiator goes with previous versions. I was taking a look at some of the other all-in-ones from Cooler Master that I have and have reviewed recently, so they're like just right on the shelf here, and they're very similar design language and things like that as far as the radiators and lines go. But where we get to the really cool part is the pump housing design. So it's got this like just barely frosted plastic cap over it that you can see right through into the, like, you know, second layer, I guess you could call it, in lighting zone of this cooler. And I think this design language is just really awesome. I don't know, it looks a bit futuristic, a bit like modern. I don't know what about it is. It's like classy. It doesn't look like flashy gamey necessarily. It just has like a higher end look that I really really liked. I don't know what it was that stuck out with it, but we've got, you know, a couple lighting zones with this. You have the Cooler Master logo in the center that's got its own LED lighting options, as well as this zone on the outside. And this cap can actually come off, as you can see here. So it's got kind of a frosted, or not frosted, but tinted design to it. You can pop this off, and they have files available, so you can actually print different tops to the cooler itself. So if you wanted to customize these pieces, you can do so, which that's, I thought really was kind of cool. Yeah. And some of this is made with like post-consumer recycled plastic as well. So they touted that a bit. Not that it necessarily adds to the performance or anything like that, but just kind of some, you know, recycling they're doing with plastic to reutilize some resources. Pretty standard design on the sides. I like that everything's coming out of essentially one section of the cooler. We've got our rotating coolant lines coming out of the block, and then we have our 4-pin PWM connector, as well as a 3-pin lighting connector, but they all kind of come out of one side of the cooler. Sometimes you get them where there's like a plug-in on the other side and then maybe one on the bottom, and it just like busies up and kind of, I don't know, doesn't look as nice when they all
and come it's always one especially section. The ones that are like actual connectors, like the one will be easy to connect, and then the other one will be like under, and you got to like try to get under there. Yeah, it's always. Yeah.
Yep. So I like that. This is the second cooler, though, that I've encountered where the, not necessarily that there's no thermal paste on there already, right? Like pre-applied paste is nice. It's a convenience piece. But this is the second one where they've utilized a like template for you to put on your thermal paste, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if I like it a lot yet or not. Lee and Lee did it, and now it's this Cooler Master as well. So I'll cover that in a little bit as well. It's just a little different than what I've been used to over the last like dozen or more AIOs that I've looked at. The last two of them have used this template design, so maybe we'll see this from other people in the future. But it does include also three Sickle Flow Edge fans. These are ARGB fans and PWM as well. So you can connect them, you know, to your compatible motherboard or lighting controller. This setup does include a lighting controller, which is nice. It's a multi-channel setup, connects via USB and some SATA power. So if you don't have a compatible motherboard or you want to utilize this with Cooler Master software, you've got that built in as well. Like I said, they are already mounted to the mother, or I'm sorry, to the radiator. However, for my installation, and I think what most people would do is they're going to place this, you know, cooler on their CPU, and then they're going to put the radiator and fans up top on the top of their case. And that's what the design instruction language shows on their install manual. But the fan cabling was facing out towards like where your side panel typically would
be.
And I always, and we recommend running, having all that cabling on the backside closest to your motherboard. So it's closer to get through those grommets into the backside of your motherboard tray. So that was kind of a pain. So I mean, it was like, yeah, it was a nice gesture, but you guys put them on backwards.
The only
thing you could do, I guess, is mount the pump a little differently and have the tubing run back. But that's like counter intuitive, I guess, to every other install that you see.
And
the norm. So it was just, I don't know, it was odd. These fans don't daisy chain together by default. You know, they don't have the you know,
were they
connectivity where they like they, you know, snap together, but they do have like a male and female ARGB
So the
connection, you can daisy chain them, but they're not cableless like we've seen.
Were they pre-wired?
They were not. They were all individual, which is another kind of, you're like,
especially I would say like for a beginner, say like their setup was fine. They didn't need to rotate the fans, right? Or say like their fans were put on the correct way.
Still got to connect them all together.
Yeah, like the, you would think, you know, as a beginner, you're like, oh, everything's ready to go. Like, I don't have to connect the, you know what I mean? So
sure. Yeah.
Because they do essentially include
splitters as well for everything.
Yeah. To go essentially, you would just want one piece of cable or two, one for power, one for RGB coming off of this.
Right.
And yeah, so that's, I would say that's an oversight.
Yep. And that's what we had. Like, again, I'll reference that Lee and Lee one. It had pre-mounted fans, and it also included, you know, just a single connection back to their controller for that. So with this, you've got to make all those connections via the included, like, I think it was a five to one splitter. But like I said, does include a lighting controller, just your standard three channel with power and USB going into it. It's got a magnet inside of there, so it, you know, sticks nicely to the side of your case on the inside, so you don't have to like gunk it up with tape
or anything like that.
So it just snaps on where you like it and move it as needed. Installing was super easy, outside from like having to remount the fans. It's not that big of a deal. Since the fans were already mounted to the radiator, I didn't really like complain about it, but I do like their thumb or their thumb screws that they include a lot of times with their fans, because they're really nice. They look really good. I would have liked that look on this, but they just used pretty standard fan screws. Whatever, no big deal. But yeah, installing super easy. You just had to mount up your appropriate mounting hardware, in my case, AMD. And then you put some mounting hardware in. Here's that process, right? Again, where we're applying thermal paste to the bottom of the cooler in that little template. And then you kind of spread it. They don't include a spreading tool. However, their instructions show there's like a little business card sized card with a QR code for the manual, which is great. But they kind of essentially hint at using that to spread the stuff. So now this little like paper card has thermal paste on it. And if I need to reference the manual again, I've got thermal paste on it. It's not the best solution, whatever. Anyhow, it works pretty well, right? You just make sure you've got enough paste on there, and you can see here it allows for probably the right amount of thickness in the pattern, you know, that they've deemed appropriate. So kind of a cool design. We'll see if it catches on with any other manufacturers, but here's a quick pic of it installed on the motherboard. Again, I think it looks amazing. Testing wise, idle temperatures, it's right there in the middle with a lot of the other 360 millimeter coolers at 29 degrees idle there. Same thing with load temperatures, right in the middle of the bunch. So, you know, nice performance on it. It's not like an outlier, you know, it's not the coldest, it's not the hottest, it's right there in the middle, performs decently well, right? I have no problem recommending this cooler to someone looking for a 360 millimeter radiator. Obviously is compatible with Master Plus software as well as their newer software application. I didn't utilize it with that. I wanted to utilize it with Master Plus on here. But you can configure just the lighting with this one. There's no software control for like the pump speed or anything like that. You have to control all that with your motherboard or a separate controller for that. So that's a little bit of a downside, but not that uncommon either with these all-in-ones. But you can definitely make use of the software to adjust the lighting as you see fit. And then we've just got some pictures of it in use here. I just think this thing looks amazing. The pictures look good. But it looks so great in person as well. I don't know. I love the design.
I do feel that out of all the AIOs that you've taken a look at, this one does look, especially like that side pick right there. Mm-hmm. It just looks really, really good. Like that little cap just makes it.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's just different than something, you know, because like, exactly. you know what certain coolers are going to look like. They have their same designs and it's like, yep. It's nice to see Cooler Master do something a little bit different.
We've seen like round design language from Cooler Master for the longest time, right? It's just like round, and maybe they've got, you know, a cooling or a lighting ring around it, or you know, with RGB. But this is just totally different. Almost looks like a you know, custom liquid, you know, loop type of water block design.
Yeah.
With how some of it looks. So. Anyhow, I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. It is only $160 from Cooler Master at the time of launch. So I think that's a pretty nice deal for its performance level. You get 3 of their ARGB fans. They're pre-mounted. Hopefully, you know, maybe they'll switch up the cabling for those fans in the future. Who knows? Maybe I got one where it was, you know, an early version of production and they've, you know, fixed that with later releases. You got your software control, included controller. I just think it's a great deal for $160 for this all-in-one. So
nice.
My only complaint was that those fans were in the wrong orientation. Past that, it's awesome.
Nice. Well, it's good to see a good solid AIO, and one that's just like just a little different. It's just it's just subtle things. It's not like some crazy, you know, AIO, but just a subtle little change just make all the difference, especially because, like, I mean, I'm looking at my computer all day. All of us have Windows on our PCs now. So it's like, you want to look over and be like, oh, it looks nice. You know, even if it's just RGB, they've done it in a different way than other people.
Right.
So yeah, I like it. Very cool. Cool. So yeah. So, before we get into the next review, Old Man asked about the display pad. He said, so you're saying you can display GIFs, and yeah, you can. You can put GIFs on here. It supports like all the, it supports GIFs as well as all of the image, like PNG bitmaps. And, PNG, like everything. It does not support like video. Like you can't put a video across it or anything. Like, at least to my knowledge, that you cannot do that. Right. And then Corey said about the iPhone 15 Pro, he's having problems with battery draining. We'll talk about the iPhone at the end of this episode, just because that's what my tech thing for the week's. I got a new iPhone, so we'll talk about that at the end there. So moving on, I took a look at a headset that I was super excited about, and I still think it's really good. You know, one of my favorite gaming headsets of all time was the original HyperX Cloud.
It you said you went through a bunch of the pads, even like you ordered
ordered more pads. I mean, I've used HyperX Cloud gaming headsets to death. And one of the main reasons is they are so comfortable. It's just like they have it figured out. I've reviewed so many headsets over the years, and I've had headsets from major companies. 1-2 hour gaming sessions. The top of your head hurts. Your ears hurt. Your ears are sweating. None of that. They haven't figured it out. It's good. Like you can't go over comfort when it comes to a headset. So they just released their HyperX Cloud 3. Now they've had a bunch of different clouds, but this is a follow-up to the Cloud 2, which I don't even know when that came out, a while back. I have it on right now. I'm going to take it off and try to explain it to you guys, but it has the same design pretty much as the previous ones. It looks the same. The only real difference is this is the black version. So there is going to be a red version. Like you see the red on my microphone. It's going to have the red right here where you see sort of like this gunmetal, but this is the black version, which I really like. Again, same type of design. Now this is a wired headset. They have a wireless version as well if you want to go wireless. But same overall design. The ear cups have the leatherettes and memory foam. There's a little bit of memory foam up here as well. 53 millimeter drivers. And then there's just like a little volume on the side here. And then there is a microphone that is detachable. So you can detach the microphone if you want to. But that it's very much, I wouldn't say the same, but they haven't changed all that much, which I think is fine. If you've ever used a cloud headset, and like I said, if you had the Cloud 2, if you're using it, those pads have worn out. It might have, you know, it's been a while. So having a newer headset is definitely great. I played Apex Legends mostly with this headset and it performed excellent. Like you could really pinpoint sound where it was coming from. So I really liked that. Everything else, as far as listening to music and watching movies, was not great. This headset is very much tuned for gaming. And that's not a bad thing. Sure. But if you're somebody who's like gaming not all that often, it's not going to be necessarily the best experience when it comes to listening to music or watching movies. That's all I'm going to say. But for gaming, it is really good. So that's the only thing. I would say the sound is just not as great as, you know, what you would. So there are some other headsets that have a more complete sound, meaning that they sound better or they sound good in games as well as other things. This is mainly just a gaming headset. Now, like I said, I did say it is wired. It is a 3.5 millimeter connection. For the most part. So what that means is that allows you to connect it to any 3.5 millimeter device. Doesn't need power, doesn't need anything like that. Now, but if you want to connect it to your PC, this goes into a USB and it is USB by default. There is a type A adapter as well. So that means you can plug it into a PC. You can also plug it into any other type C device too and use it. So it's really great that way. So this is going to work with like Xbox, PlayStation, DS, mobile device, what did I miss? Like pretty much everything. It's going to work with more or less everything, which I really like. Now, the only thing that I didn't necessarily like beyond the non-great, non-gaming sound is that because this can be used for like a ton of devices, especially mobile devices, you can't lay this flat. You can't lay the headset flat, which I was a little bit disappointed in. But beyond that, I do think it's a really good headset. It's really well made. So that, you know, that like darker piece, it's all metal throughout the headset, which is really nice. No RGB lighting, none of that stuff. You don't need RGB lighting on a headset because you don't. Now they do have their software, which I would say it's a bit dated. It's their and this is Windows app only. Like you have to get Ingenuity, it through the Windows. Yeah, you have to get it through the Windows Store. You can't get it as an EXE in this, it's only available on the Windows Store. So if you plug this into a Mac, you can't use any of these other features. You can enable spatial sound, DTS:X spatial sound, and there is an equalizer that you can set your own preset or use one of their presets, but that's it. There's no, you know, with other headsets, especially these days, especially gaming focused headsets, you will get functions like the SteelSeries headset that I reviewed, where you can set different, when you plug it in, it sets different audio devices, say for like streaming, ones for games, ones for music, and then you can adjust those levels. You don't get any of that. So I was kind of disappointed in the software. The microphone, which actually I have right here because it's detachable, it's better than the previous version. I wouldn't say it's necessarily the best headset microphone that I've used. It is very good, and you will sound clear. Definitely more than enough to make it by doing Zoom calls and in-game voice and everything like that. So overall, I did like it. I was just a little disappointed that, like, you know, if you get a headset for your computer, you want it to be more than just used for gaming, right? While this is a gaming headset, I want to listen to music and I want it to sound, you know, just not decent. Flat. Yeah. Like it just sounded flat. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. And like I said, the software, but this headset's only $100. And I think for $100, you're getting a great deal. I will probably use this for gaming just because it is so comfortable. That's the biggest thing about the cloud headsets. I assume that's why they called them cloud from the beginning, because it's like, you know, being in the cloud.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very comfortable. That's the key takeaway here. So I only gave it an 8 just because, again, I do feel that there are headsets out there that have more complete sound, and there are headsets that come with a great software package, and you don't get that here. But there is, like I said, there is a wired version, which I reviewed, and there is a wireless version, which I think the wireless version is at least $30 more, if not 50, I'm not sure. But, you know, you can kind of pick what you want. But I, like I said, I like it. I will probably end up using it quite a lot. So,
sweet.
So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never used one. I've never had a cloud. I take that back. I have a cloud. What was it? I just had it the other day. Cloud Stinger, which is like a plastic one.
Yeah, that's a cheaper one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want the original cloud, and they've had some other ones that like had the same design. They were called something a little bit different. They had like a 3D sound one, and you know, and there's none of that either. I mean, there is the DTS spatial audio, which, I mean, it's software, right? So it's not, you know, but there's also no, I mean, you do get noise isolation within the headset, but there's no noise cancellation either, like active noise canceling. So you're not going to get that either. But again, I think it's still good for overall. It is really comfortable. And for gaming, it sounds great. So just keep all of that in mind. But check out the review. I'll be playing, we'll be playing Apex with these tonight. So yeah, talking about, we'll move over to a video that I did this week. Just want to let you guys know it is on YouTube. Remember, we talked about it last week, was the Patriot PXD.
Yep.
I made a video just showing you basically how to go ahead and take the VXD, install an M.2 in it, and, you know, and make a super fast portable SSD. So that's on the YouTube channel if you guys want to check it out. Yeah, cool little, it's like a cool little project too. Like if you're not like, you know, it's a very easy DIY thing, which I really like about the VXD. Like it gets you kind of doing things you wouldn't normally do. So I definitely, I liked reviewing this, and it was cool to make the video showing you guys how to, you know, put the M.2 drive in there, get everything up and running and all of that. So go ahead and check that out.
I think that title is perfect too. Like how to take an old M.2 and turn it into a super fast portable drive. Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. And it's again, I really like the idea of using old hardware and making it useful, right? Not just like having it sit around or whatever. Like I'm actually going to use that portable SSD, which is great. So we will move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a Fantex NV7 build. And this one's from Kopi and Tech, which I don't believe we have featured them.
Didn't sound familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Before I don't remember us featuring them, but this is a great build. Obviously done in the Fantex NV7 has what kind of water cooling is this? This is
Alpha Cool
water cooling. Yep. And you were saying it's their newer stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I really like the design of their newer blocks.
Just like very sleek. Really
sleek, like their water block design is new for like the CPU and the GPU, right? That doesn't look like the older design. They've got those new, like the at the back of the case where that pump is and everything. See how it's like on those standoffs? That's some new at the back, like the fan standoffs. Nope. The pump. The little, it's like a little further back where the fans would be. See those black, like it's like offset.
Oh, yeah, the spacers. Yeah,
those spacers. Yeah, that's like some of their new design as well, where it kind of like pops onto those.
That's cool.
Pieces as well. So, yeah, just I wanted to point out, yeah, some of the newer Alpha Cool stuff in this build. But, yeah, nice, clean build.
I really like
no crazy bins, but like really nice looking bins. And again, the clear tubing looks nice.
The clear tubing is so good because you can make this so like, obviously, in like, you know, this picture, it's like kind of like the RGB all over the place, right? But then like, where's that other picture? The blue. So like in this picture, you can make it whatever you want. You're not really limited. And again, the clear coolant is going to carry whatever colors you have going on. So, you know, say you're feeling blue one day, you make it blue. Say you're feeling red, you say you're feeling all RGB, whatever it may be, you can kind of do that. It's Christmas time, you make it red and green. It's you know, you can, it's what is your team, Chiefs? The Kansas City Chiefs would be white and red. No,
it's like red and yellow. It's like ketchup mustard. So it's not like the best combo, but yes.
So like if you did like the Steelers or the Penguins, it'd be like black and gold, you know. So you can kind of, well, that's what's really cool about the clear tubing. But yeah, just a great overall build. As Ryan said, not any like insanely crazy bends. This could be done. I mean, I wouldn't say I could do it, but I guess I could. I mean, if I learned to bend this stuff and took my time, yeah, I could definitely do it. And again, all of these like placements, this is all stuff that like, you know, is made to fit in all these places too. So it's not like you're cutting up the case or you're doing anything real crazy per se. Which is really great to see. So it's great to see like a build like this where not a necessarily a whole lot of modding per se, more just like building with pieces and putting them in kind of where you want to go. And it's good to see that a cable mod connector here.
I liked that. Cleans it up a ton. They've got nice airflow bottom to top, right? Air coming in the bottom, moving up through the top since you've got that solid front plate and no ventilation at the back. This is cool looking.
Yeah, really cool. So go ahead and check this out from Kopi and Tech. And we will move on to news this week. One, it seems like everybody is trying to make the RTX 4060 series like a thing that like somebody wants to be excited about. We've seen all these like small, tiny cards. We've seen like, hey, like, you know, we're doing this, and you're seeing everybody sort of try to come out with just cards to get somebody excited about an RTX 4060, where nobody's excited, especially based on price. Nobody's excited. Well, MSI is one of those companies. And I do like the idea of this. They're calling this the limited series, right? It's called the limited series. And this is drop number one. There's 6,000 units of this card, which is the Envy edition, which, it's cool looking. I mean,
I think, it looks good, but
it's a 4060 though.
6,000 of them. You sure you want to make that many?
And I like the, like, obviously when it drops really became cool in the PC space when it came to like keyboards and keyboard accessories. You know, and we saw NZXT do it with cases, special edition cases. And I like the idea of drops. 6,000 just seems a lot. It's like they just had like extra, they like, oh, this, all of our other 40 series aren't selling, we're just gonna do this. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily more inclined to buy this.
No, but it's, I mean, it's another option, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, it's just the 4060.
The limited series, yeah, like limited, yeah, usually it has like. It's like we've made only 100 of these, and so they're so limited because they're so good. We were only able to like squeeze out enough performance out of these 100 chips, and so they're the limited series, right?
Yeah.
Not like, we got a bunch of these laying around.
Yeah, 6,000 seems like a lot. Maybe like 1,000? I mean, on the high end, 1,000. On the low end would be like 250, if we're being realistic, right? Yeah. And we've seen limited edition products like the Aqua boards from ASRock. I mean, they only made 100 of those. MSI's own special edition cards, like the Lightning cards. I remember the last Lightning card, or they only made 10. You know, of the one card.
At that point, it's like, why?
Yeah, those are super limited edition. You know, this it's again, for me, it's just underwhelming because of the class of card that they're doing it in. And two, 6,000 doesn't seem limited to me. You know, will they even sell 6,000? Don't know, because it's a 40-60. But it, this is what it is. It's called the Envy Edition. And again, this limited series from MSI is, they said, it's a new concept that introduces special editions of MSI's best products. I can't imagine the 4060 is a...
It's their best product.
A best product, but excited to see what these, the next drop would be, right? Is it limited to graphics cards? Are we going to see motherboards? Like, you know what I mean? I like the idea of it. So we'll see kind of, you know, what comes of that.
And I wonder if they'll keep that color scheme too. Like that green is not an MSI color at all.
Well, it's because it's the NVIDIA edition. It's the NVIDIA color.
Oh, true. Okay.
Yeah, that's why. So it's a green NVIDIA color. They also introduced some new cards as part of like the Essential series. And the interesting thing about these cards, as part of the Essential series, so they're 4070s, 4070 Ti's, and 4090s. And the difference in the product name is E at the end, and there's the OC ones are called EOC. And the reason they're being called Essential is because on the back, instead of all new graphics cards, you get one HDMI and three DisplayPort. Here you're getting two of each. So if you had two HDMI monitors or other devices, you could do that. That's why they're being called Essential. I like this just because a lot of people do have a lot of HDMI devices, and you know, getting an adapter or whatever. I mean, because you only get one HDMI. So it's nice to see that. And I think a lot of people don't make use of all three DisplayPorts. So having two of each just makes it easy. If you want to run two DisplayPort monitors, you can do that. If you know, you can mix and match. I like it. Not much else to say about them. They're going to be around the same price, but it's good to see that, because a lot of graphics card manufacturers haven't strayed from one HDMI and three DisplayPort for quite a while.
Yep.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen anything different. So it's good to see that. I do like that. Also talking about graphics cards, the new 12V 2x6 connector has been tested. Obviously, we know about what were we calling that burn gate? Who are we calling? Who are we calling when the
was the, it like melt gate?
Yeah, we're calling it melt gate when all the graphics cards connectors were melting with the new. When the RTX 4090 series came out, that's all we talked about for at least months.
It was for quite a while.
So there's a new connector. It's called 12V 2x6. Initial testing of it showed it like not fully connected like this. So if you had an RTX 4090 and you didn't have it fully connected and plugged in like this,
it was bad news.
There was a good chance you're going to burn your card or burn the socket or damage your PC in some way. And this happened to a bunch of people. And again, that's all we talked about for months. Well, this new connector, they tested it like this. They put over 600 watts through it. Yep. And there was no issue. 640 watts through it. No issues, which is a good sign. And there's a video on it if you want to learn more. And they talk about the changes and everything on the cable. So if you want to learn more about that, I like that. This should have been like done initially.
Right. You would think that some of that testing would be done anyways, like just with like normal processes of, all right, we've got this design, test it normally. Now let's test it like crooked to the left, crooked to the right, not all the way in.
Yeah. It just makes you wonder sometimes. But check out the article for that. That is really cool. Also something that I'm a huge fan of. I'm sure you remember when EVGA was selling graphics cards, which wasn't all that long ago. They had their, what was it called? Was it just like their, it wasn't a trade-in program.
Trade up?
It was like
trade up or power
where up? You could, or something where you could take your old graphics card and they would give you money for it and it would go towards the purchase of a new graphics card. Well, obviously EVGA isn't doing it anymore because they don't sell new graphics cards. But it looks like Newegg is going to be doing that, which is a massive retailer, obviously. And they have announced a new graphics card trade-in program.
This guy's really studying it too.
Yeah, this image, I don't know why they put this image out here. I mean, it's I don't know. But in any case, just like to tell you how it works through Newegg, on every graphics card page now, you should see a pop-up or something on the page, or like a little banner thing on the page, that's going to say like trade-in. And then what you can do is you submit information on your current graphics card, and they will, it's kind of like, what's the car, Carvana? It's like that. You like put in information about your graphics card. They're going to give you a preliminary offer. And then whenever, if you accept that preliminary offer, they will go ahead and ship you a mailing label. I don't think they send you, or they provide you a shipping,
like a box,
not a box, a, just the label. They just, they provide you the label and instructions to send it back. And then when they get it back, they'll eval the card and then give you a credit that goes back on your original purchase, whatever it may be. So if you pay with like your American Express, the money goes back on there. So I like it. Okay. It's you know,
I could get $140 out of my 2070 Super.
Did you just try it? Did you just do it?
Yeah, the link. Yeah, you hit that link, nice. And it takes you right there.
Oh, well, there you go.
$140.
So that makes your 7800 XT how much?
Yeah, it's not worth.
Well, the thing is too, you gotta put the cooler back on.
I gotta put my cooler back on. Exactly. So I wonder if they also check to like they like plug it in and see if it's overclocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Somebody's like, oh yeah, I have a 4090. They send back like a, you know, a 1650 Ti.
They send in one of those cards from like Wish that says like a 3090 or something. Yeah. And they're like, obviously, sir, this is a...
you're not going to get the funds until they receive the card and verify it. Yeah. So it's not like you're getting that money off towards your new purchase. You'll eventually get that money back. So say you're buying a card that's $849 and they say you're going to get $200 for your graphics card. You're going to pay $849 and then you get the $200 back once they eat your card. And if they're like, no, this card isn't good or whatever, they'll send it back to you at no charge. They're not going to keep the card either. But I do like it. I think it's a good overall thing. Obviously, now we don't necessarily have like the issue of stock and, you know, not having cards available. But I do like it, especially for somebody who may be considering doing an upgrade. They don't want to go through the hassle of trying to sell on like forums or like eBay. They just want to make it simple. This makes it simple for them. So I like it. Yep. Yeah. I'm sure eventually we'll see some crazy stories of the stuff people send to Newegg. I think it'll be kind of interesting.
I mean, you can get $561 out of a 3090 Ti.
Interesting. I do have a 3090.
You have $457.
Okay. But moving on from there, we'll go to CPU stuff. Of course, the Intel 1400, the 1400 series, or the Raptor Lake refresh is coming. It looks like somebody did test a Core i9 14900KF. That's the one without the integrated graphics, and it scored the number one score on Passmark, which is kind of expected. The highest one before that was a 13900KS. So you would expect the 14900 to have a better single. This isn't single core, so have a better single core score. Gives you kind of an idea of what to expect. So the 13900, we'll just do the K or the KF, was like 4,666 points, where this scored 4,939 points. So yeah, good to see. You kind of know what to expect, and you do see, at least on the Intel side, you do see a better increase in single core over multi-core lately. So that is kind of what we would expect there. Corsair launched new product that I want them bad.
I didn't read any of the reviews, but I did see that they had launched these.
Yeah. So Corsair launched Dominator Titanium DDR5. Yeah, I mean, we know Dominator Platinum. It's the same deal. These are one big dims. Two, these are like handpicked ICs, best for overclocking, the best everything. And you can get them in a couple different versions. So here's like the normal one with that DHX cooler. So there's no RGB lighting for like the purist out there. So you have that one, and then you have like the RGB module. So here's a white one. There's going to be a black one, and then there is going to be like a titanium color, which the main picture in the article looks like that. So yeah, I mean,
they look good.
With the light bar at the top there saying Dominator across. I like these. They're just kind of like feel heavy. Like if you've ever picked up Dominator Platinum memories, nice. Like feel memory, heavy yeah. and nice. And yeah, I mean, not much other to say than that. They'll probably be some of the best performing DDR5 out there. Talto says, slaps credit card on desk. I'll take 128 gigs. Probably be expensive. Let's see if we can configure 128 gigs and make sure it's like, you know, 7800, you know, let's see how much we can get here. So 96. Nice, we can only get 96 gigs.
Well, what does 264 gig kits look like?
All right, we'll do 296 gig kits. How much is
296?
What is that? Do the math. I'm not, that's 192.
What, wait, 96? No.
96 times two. That's one.
I don't know.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do 264 gigs. Okay. So, and the highest we can get them is 6600. So not bad. 324.
That's actually not that bad.
Yeah. So it's 128.
It's a lot less than I thought it was going to be.
So 128 would throw you back about, what is that? 650?
650. Yeah.
Yeah. So not bad. Now, if you want 296, that's still not that bad. That's still under $1,000. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Slap that credit card.
There you go.
Yeah. Get that stuff.
Spend them bucks.
Yeah. So, those are nice. I do like those. Those are some of my favorites. Memory in general. And they have been since Dominators have been out. It's been, like, one of my favorites. This is something I thought you might be interested in because you were
pretty big. I kind of am.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So Logitech announced their PlaySeat Challenge X Logitech G Edition. You know, you see these big SIM setups for driving, and they take up a lot of space. They're really big. They're hard to move around. This one seems smaller and more streamlined. Obviously, you know, your steering wheel goes here, your pedals go down here. This is made to work with Logitech's own steering wheel as well as their pedals. It's just the chair. It's sort of like, it seems like a mesh, but not like, it seems a little bit heavier mesh, but it's not like crazy. Right. So I like this. It's only, I think it's $300.
I like the fact that it folds up so nice.
Yeah. Well, here's the question that I have. So yeah, it's $300, $299. And there's this picture of it folded up. The question I have is that how well does this fold up if you do have the, because this is without a steering wheel.
Right, you've got to take that off. Absolutely.
That's the thing. Like, I would like to be able to fold it up with that stuff connected. So I don't have to reconnect it every time. Now, I don't know
Unless it's easy to connect, you know, to add.
Yeah, unless it like slides in, right? Like, kind of like just slides and locks in. That would be nice. I don't know how.
You kind of have to just like commit to, all right, I'm going to set this up and I'm going to play racing games in my living room or wherever for the next week, so it's, you know, makes it worth it. It's not like something you're like picking up and putting away every night when you're done gaming.
But I mean, if you look at this, it looks like it may just slide in and lock in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was seeing people were talking about like this thing's gonna creak, and because it does look like some of the tubing, if you look at I think the last picture, it shows how you get in. See how it's like tilted up so you can sit down and then that folds over. It looks like almost like some tent poles, like the little, you know how, I don't know, a lot of times poles come together and they have the little metal peg that sticks through and is spring loaded. Like that's what it looks like. So how sturdy is this thing?
Yeah, there has to be a weight limit on this thing too. Not saying that we're above the weight limit, but I mean,
no, yeah, not but
it's 26
it would pounds. Be cool though, because I hate, like, I have a set of pedals, a Logitech set of pedals and steering wheel, but I never use them because I've either got to clamp it to this desk and then it's like, well, no, I can't use my keyboard. And then the pedals, they've got the little, you know, claws that go into the carpet and everything, but they don't stay like you really want it to. With this, you're at least, you have your body weight holding.
And you're in more of like
a driving position,
position per se.
Yep.
So it would be interesting to like sit down in this and again, see how, if it creaks, to see how it feels and to see how,
if they send it over, I'll sit in it.
Okay. And to see if like you can, how easy it is to take the pedals off or if you can fold it with it, maybe this is just without it. If you can't,
it doesn't fold up quite as small without it.
Yeah, but still, I mean, to be able to just fold it out of the way is definitely a plus. So I think that's pretty cool. So yeah, so that is that. And then on the gaming side of things, Division 3, which we both played Division 2.
I played Division 1 like all the way through. I didn't play all of Division 2.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I finished either of them, but I played both of them and I really did enjoy them. So Division 3. Announced. Would you pick it up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was always a fan of the Division games.
It made me want to play Division 2 again and just like finish it. Because I only played it like a very short period.
We played it a little bit
when it first came out. Yep.
Yeah. Also in the gaming sphere, it just launched today. We didn't post an article on it, but Counter-Strike 2 is now available for everybody. If you want to play Counter-Strike, that's there. Also, Payday launched as well. Lots of good games, and it's not even like, I mean, we're like we're past summer, but like usually a lot, we see like that's a lot of good games. Like just, you know, I guess Division's not out yet, but again, you have Counter-Strike 2, you have Payday 3, you have Starfield that's out now. Yeah. Everything's like out and it's not even like crazy holiday yet.
Holiday
like
season.
Also,
have you seen the news about Titanfall 2? Like they've been dropping like hints of things lately and all of a sudden like server matchmaking is fixed in Titanfall 2 and like they've been spending time on that game.
Interesting.
Which is Respawn has, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
So there's talks of like they're gonna like put renewed resources into Titanfall 2 or maybe a Titanfall 3 is in the works.
The new update for Cyberpunk just came out as well. Liberty Station or Phantom Liberty, I forget what it's called. But that like all this good games like are out, which is awesome. Taltos says Payday 3 is not having a good launch. Yeah, I saw that. I hadn't bought it. I was thinking about getting, 'cause a bunch of my friends play. And they were having issues. I know, you know, I saw some bunch of stuff on Reddit as well. As we get to the end, we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. So I'm taking a look at a big case. It reminds me of like an old school case. The Be Quiet Dark Base Pro 901. It is big, man. This is a big case. It's just big. It's huge. It supports all different kinds of hardware. You can flip the motherboard tray. It just, it has a bunch of their silent fans. Like it is big. So it has this cool graphics card hiding thing. Like it hides the cable.
Does it also support it as well? Oh, holder. Yep. And
It holds. Yeah, it holds it. There's a bunch of stuff in this case. It's really big. It's like for somebody who's doing like a really big build. And this case is set up to be silent if you want it to be. So you can block off the top and all the panels have like the sound dampening material and the top does as well. So you can block it off if you want it to be like really silent too. So I will have that for you guys next week. And then also I'm taking a look at some near field monitors, basically speakers. From Drop. So these are their BMR1s. We got a demo of these actually all the way back in January.
Did we see these at CES?
We did see these at CES, and I actually thought they were pretty good, the demo that they gave us. So I have these, so I'll be testing these out, and I'll be telling you guys a little bit about those as well. So any tech-related stuff that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think tech related, no.
No?
No? I bought a slot machine.
Oh, yeah. You did send me that. Ryan bought a slot machine.
At an estate sale, so yeah. I'm a degenerate gambler now. You know what? I can't really lose any money on it because I am the house, so I just get the money back.
Nice. Well, before we get into my stuff about the iPhone, because I definitely bought a what's it called? I got the new iPhone. I finally, you know, I got it in. Old man did buy some stuff, and I'm on his Twitter. So he bought a 12900K Z690, which is the Z690 Plus Wi-Fi from Asus, the Tough Gaming, and 32 gigabytes of RAM, which looks like it's the G-Scale Ripjaws S5. For $400, that's a pretty good deal for all that. 12900K Z690 board, and then he also bought he said I bought this motherboard instead as an upgrade, so he got the
ASRock as well that came with a free Solidigm drive.
Nice
as well. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Good to see you get some new stuff. You didn't have to buy a pre-built that you've had for a while when we had the GPU shortage. So good to see that. Cool. Definitely cool stuff there. But yeah, iPhone stuff. So I got iPhone 15 Pro. Obviously I put all my phones in cases. So in the case, I had the 12, and it was so long ago when I had got it. I didn't remember how I did my upgrade before. I think I started that phone as like a brand new phone, so no transferring data or anything like that. And it had been maybe like 4 years since I did like a new phone. So the process of setting up the phone was extremely easy, as far as like you open the phone up and then it detects that there's another phone nearby. And it's like, hey, do you want to transfer this phone over? And it just does it all right there. Like you don't even have to connect the cable. I guess if you connected a cable, it probably would have been done faster, but like it just puts this like almost like a QR code up on the screen. You scan it with a new phone and you can just transfer everything, all your apps, all your data over super easy, which I was pretty impressed with. The only thing that didn't transfer over fully was like my Google Authenticator.
Oh, okay. So
you have to export from the app. So if you are upgrading, if you have Google Authenticator, it won't transfer over. You have to add it in. Like you know what I mean? So that's the only thing it's the only thing that didn't transfer over. The phone's a lot faster, obviously. Corey was talking about battery issues. Like I have my phone sitting on like a charger all day, so I haven't necessarily noticed any battery issues on this. Again, this is the 15 Pro. Yeah, haven't really noticed any issues. The one thing I did notice about this, and I really researched this because I was kind of like not necessarily upset about it, but when you take a picture, mm-hmm. especially on the selfie, like say I'm taking a photo, what I see on the screen isn't what the final product is. Like when you look at it in the camera roll, it's like it gets very processed. And it's a lot more noticeable on the selfie camera than the other cameras. It doesn't happen as much in natural light, but if like in light like this, like it just over processes. And I guess this has been a thing since the 13 Pro. MBKHD did a big video on it talking about the over processing, and yeah, it's just not great. Kind of disappointing, especially like selfie cameras, just not great on this phone. Better
check out an Android phone.
No, your camera's garbage.
I didn't say my phone. I just said an Android phone.
So there's a lot of post-processing, and the way that MBKHD explained it was like
MKBHD.
The way he explained it is that, you know, he compared, they did this massive comparison of like 20 phones, and they did it in-house, like all of, like it was blind test. They took the same picture, and like the Pixel 6 always won. Always.
Wow.
And not only within their, like, you know, they quizzed everybody like in their studio, but then they put all the pictures out outside for everybody to do, and everybody picked the Pixel 6, and it was because the sensor, like, they had it fully optimized and they finally understood it, where it's like these like new cameras, these new camera arrays, like, they just don't have them fixed yet. And it's like,
with it, yeah,
this is a 48 megapixel camera, like, it should be great. And sure. I don't know what the front facing one is, but like, so I think it's just updates and them fixing things over time where it's going to get better. And he even said that that's the same thing on Android as well. Like, you know, once they upgraded the camera on the Pixel phone too, like, it just, it got bad. And again, a lot of overprocessing. So that's the major issue that I found with this phone. Everything else is great. Super snappy, really fast. The cameras are good. I don't have the Max that has that new zoom. Type C, which is fine. I don't really plug my phone. Like, I use the MagSafe on everything, know? The only thing I did need is, so one, and this has been a thing for a while, is like, you don't get a power brick with this. Mm-hmm. You just get
you have to pick one up?
No. Well, you just get the cable. The cable's a type C to type C. But my car, to use CarPlay, it's a type A. I have a ton of type C to type A cables.
Okay.
But they're just power cables. They're not data cables.
No data. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to, I think for that old, the SteelSeries headset that I was talking about earlier, that came with a type C to type A. And that's what I'm using in my car currently. Those are the only issues.
That those are even a thing, you know? I mean, what? I know it's cheaper, the like non-data.
Yeah, non-data. Because I don't have any really Type-C data cables, because all of my products are like I have normal USB cables, and then everything else was like a Lightning cable. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I do, like, I charge everything wirelessly. I don't really use a charger, but I've liked it. Just disappointing the camera, man. I mean, one of the main reasons I bought this phone is we're going to be using it a lot at CES. I really haven't tested the video quality per se. They do have this really cool feature that I saw somebody talk about that was available in the Max phone last generation, but now it's available in the Pro and Pro Max now. Is it's called action mode, and like, while you're shooting video, you can just turn it on, and like, it's instant stabilization. So I don't know how they do it, but this guy just went like this. And then if you look at the footage, it's like completely fixed.
Smooth. Which, that's cool.
Which would be really good for especially the stuff that we're going to be doing with like trade shows and doing shots. Like, it would be cool to, hopefully that works well. I'm going to have to test it before we go. But
what a
Corey said, no fast charging on iPhone 15 Pro. Isn't there? I think there is. I only charge wirelessly, so
you have the what do you have, the Lark from AC. Hollyland, what was the one?
Yes, I do.
Is that it's a type C?
No, the one that I got was the Lightning cable one,
right? So you're not gonna be able to use that either.
That's a big thing. So all of your accessories that might have been Lightning accessories will not work. Obviously, you can get an adapter, but who wants?
Well, they make a Type C one too. I think
they do make a Type C one. Plus, I have their normal camera one, which they did send me the Type C cable too, which I believe would work with that. But we can get some other stuff. You know, well, I'll figure out. I have to make a plan of all like the gear I'm gonna get, because this
what the plan is
for CES. This is gonna be like the content creation thing. Yeah, and what's really cool about this too is you can shoot. That was the one nice upgrade for like video creators, is that I can attach something like this portable SSD.
Yep, right to it.
Right to it, and it will shoot. You can only do it in Pro Raw. You can't shoot like normal, which is kind of crappy. Yeah. But you can shoot directly to an SSD, which we might be doing that. We'll see how we do this, but that was the, for video people, that was like the cool upgrade for the iPhone 15. And then like, there are some other things. Oh, let me Like
we're running over, man.
I know. They're like the top thing. So like the, I had a 12, so that top
that's a big cutout.
I actually had the the iPhone 12 had the an actual cutout. This thing is like a it's smaller and it changes depending on what you're doing, if that makes sense. But yeah, I like it. I mean, I do feel like everything's getting worse. Like every new product just like has issues. Like look at all the game launches we talked about. Starfield had issues. Payday has issues. Like I'm having issues with like Gmail now, just like simple things. It's just everything's just not like this great product anymore, which is kind of disappointing in many ways. Are you gonna, you're still on that crappy phone, huh?
Yeah. That eight pro is coming out, and the Pixel 8. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't like the camera on this phone. Outside of that, I have enjoyed the phone. But
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, like I said, the main reason I got it was mainly for us for covering CES because my previous iPhone was a 12 Pro, which is fine. There was not actually. You know how they always say, and I think old man or somebody, Tall Touch was talking about it. Yeah, I never had any issues with any of that stuff. My 12 Pro worked fine. It wasn't slowing down. I didn't have any issues. The only issue I had is I was running out of space. I like to shoot video when I'm like doing stuff, and I do like to shoot it in 4K. And I was only a 256 gig phone. So this is a terabyte phone, which is the largest capacity phone I've ever got. So I just wanted to be future proof. Don't have to worry about it.
Future and I got for a couple years.
Yep. I did get a good deal. I mean, not, I wouldn't call it a good deal, but they gave me $800 for my.
It's a good deal to me.
For my, you know, however many year old phone. So, yeah. So that's pretty much it, guys. Like I said, Ryan said we are running late. We're well over an hour into this podcast. So we're going to be jumping over to Twitch. Ryan will have that stream up. There's nothing else you wanted to talk about, right? As far as tech stuff. Okay. Well, we are going to jump over to Twitch. Like I said, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will have that stream up. And we'll be playing some Apex Legends. And I'm really excited to use this headset because it really is good for gaming. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, we will be over there. Thanks everybody for coming out. Corey, Taltosh, Cine, old man, everybody in the chat, good to see you guys here, and we will see everybody next week.